This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is suitable for all audiences.
Hey, what's going on, Barroom? It's Cars here for this week's installment of Cars Keys, the first for 2019 season. Definitely a season I know a lot of us were looking forward to, so I'm anxious to dive in and start talking about it. So kind of a flow of how this is going to work. I'm going to do three key things that I'm thinking is going to really drive or make a difference in the game. Three of the key matchups that I'm really looking forward to watching and will definitely have to watch again on the All-22 after. And then three key players on the Bears who I think will need to have a big game or step up and make an impact. That will never be Khalil. That'll never be Mitch. The idea here is from some other folks that, you know, that we've all at various points in time talked about, but guys I think that can stand out. And so one of the first things that I want to talk about today that I'm really looking forward to seeing and what's going to make a difference in the game is the Matt LaFleur offense versus the Aaron Rodgers style offense. The reason I say that is, you know, I know that LaFleur got the McVay bump, but his 1 year in Tennessee wasn't the most creative of situations. And I will, of course, asterisk everything with the fact that Marcus Mariota was never the player that folks thought he could be. You know, Delanie Walker went down early. Outside of Davis, they don't really have a whole lot of wide receivers. But, you know, that offense was as old school throwback as you can get. You know, the Titans last year were ninth in rushing attempts, right? 454. They had 15 rushing touchdowns, right? I mean, they continued to give the ball to Deion Lewis 155 times last year, even though he averaged only 3.3 yards per carry. If you contrast that, right, with the Packers, who were 32nd in rushing attempts at 333, right? A full 100 plus, 121 more or less, excuse me, than what the Titans did. They did have 14 rushing touchdowns, and, you know, there were some positive numbers. You hear a lot of Packers fans talk about Aaron Jones, and when he's not dinged up, the impact he can make. But what you saw last season is, even though we ended up with 5.5 yards per carry, he didn't average 5 yards a game after week 7. And granted, he only played 4 or 5 games before he was done. You know, that early number was really inflated against teams like Miami and a few others. So the reason I call that out, right, is, you know, moving into Aaron Rodgers, he's got a Davante Adams and a lot of other skill set. What we've noticed about the pack, though, is that the discord always seemed to be based around the way the offense was called. There are a lot of rumors and reports that, you know, McCarthy would call certain plays and Aaron would audible constantly out of them. He wanted his own game plan, and I think that really showed. You know, the pack haven't run over 400 times in a season since 2015, and that was when Lacy and Stark were in their background, you know, the backfield. 2016 is really when we started to see their rushing numbers decline, and that's kind of coincides with they've not had a winning season since 2016, right? They've been 7-9 the last two when their overall rushing attempts were at 378 and 333. So LaFleur is definitely going to want a little bit more focus on the run game. I don't expect it to be perfectly balanced, but I expect there to be a lot more calls, and they're going to try to leverage Jones, who, as usual, is on an injury report, and you just don't know what he's going to get. And, you know, his backup Williams isn't doing a whole lot for running the ball, right? It's almost the same amount of attempts as Jones and a full yard and a half less per carry. So that's why I'm going to find that very interesting, right? I mean, we don't know what LaFleur is. You know, yes, he worked with McVay. Yes, most of his time was with Shanahan, right, as an underling there. But we can't say for certain that he's going to be the ultra-aggressive kind of move-the-ball guy, and that's what Aaron really wants to do. He doesn't really care for the run game. Now, part of the reason LaFleur will want to do that is that there's been an increase in sacks for Aaron the last 2 years. He's at a rate of almost 8% sack rate. So that's total amount of time sacked divided by the total amount of passing attempts plus the total time sacked, right? So if you're passed 200 times and you get sacked 25 times, right, you're actually dividing 225 by the full 225. That's an alarmingly high rate. And Rodgers is someone who, you know, needs the time as he gets older because he has taken such a beating. So that dichotomy is going to be very interesting to watch during the game. And I'm really looking forward to seeing just how together as a team they are. You know, there's been a lot of reports about Aaron's behavior and how he acts and how that's different. And I think we could start to see some problems right away in week one. The next thing that I'm really looking forward to talking about is just what is this revamped Packers defense? You know, there's been a lot made over the fact that they went and spent $13 million on the Smiths, right? Almost $6 million on Adrian Amos. They drafted Rashawn Gary and Darnell Savage in the first two rounds. You know, they made a lot of changes. Now it was interesting for me that they replaced, you know, Clay Matthews with these guys, and they allowed Mike Daniels to leave while they re-signed Dean Lowry to an extension. He was someone that, you know, they seemed to be high on, but he didn't have, one hit, QB hit, and zero sacks from week 13 on. So there's a lot of pressure on a guy like him to step up. And the reason for that is, Packers defense last year was pretty atrocious. They were 18th in total defense, right, in yards allowed. They were 29th in turnovers and 22nd in points allowed. There's been, you know, one of the more interesting conversations we've heard about, right, is Bears regression, because Vic Fangio isn't the guy. But for whatever reason, Pettine is getting a lot of love. This was a defense that gave up 30 points six different times last year. They gave up over 400 yards of offense in six games as well. You know, if you take out the Buffalo numbers, right, and this was just as they had moved to their rookie quarterback, they have no receivers whatsoever at this point in time. If you take out those numbers, what the Packers did was a lot worse. But Pettine gets a lot of love, right? He gets a lot of attention. So the defense is going to have to get a lot out of Preston and Za'Darius Smith in the pass rush department. Now, if you look at it, Kyler Fackrell last year did 10.5 sacks, and this whole offseason they had two guys in front of him and drafted a third way too high in Rashawn Gary to basically play ahead of him. So now they're going to be looking and trying to do some more with these these new parts and pieces. They need this rush, right? So you'll expect to see a lot of Za'Darius Smith kind of inside as almost a defensive tackle slash nose tackle on third down so that they can maybe get a couple extra pass rushers out on the field. And that's really where Smith does his best work. But these are not guys who have consistently set the numbers apart. These are guys who have never had 10 sack seasons. And again, there are reasons oftentimes that guys like these are free agents. But the reason that that's more important is you heard that number of 29th in turnovers. And realistically, as much as the Pack were active this offseason, that was something that was amiss, right? We know that Adrian Amos doesn't do a whole lot in the turnover department, but they've got problems all across the board. You know, Kevin King, who's their second cornerback outside of Jair Alexander, he's played 15 games in 2 years. He's a first-round pick from 3 years ago. They were hoping for more. It just doesn't look like he's going to stay healthy. He's already nicked up for this game. And they are admitting he's not going to be able to play a full workload. You know, they had drafted Joshua Jackson from Iowa last year in the second round, but unfortunately that move doesn't seem to be working out. He's listed as a third-string defensive back. They had to bring back Tremont Williams at 36 years old. You know, there's not a lot that was done in the turnover game for them. And so that's going to continue, I think, to be a weakness for the Packers. They're going to have to get creative in their blitzing, just like Pettine did last year. And when really good offense start to expose those things and make those things be punishable, you know, that's when you see the large chunks of yardage. That's where you see the big points. So I really want to see how that happens. And when I couple that with the injury reports and that there are no Oren Burks next week, which I think is a more significant loss than anybody on their side wants to admit. You know, Blake Martinez is a very good run-thumping inside linebacker with a bit better coverage capabilities than Kwiatkowski, for instance, but just not there. Without Oren Burks, who's going to be the guy that they're going to be able to line up on Burton if he's healthy, on Cohen, on Davis, on Montgomery? You know, even Adam Shaheen for those guys is going to be a troublesome matchup. And I think that doesn't even begin to manage, like, who on the defensive backfield is going to be able to take Patterson when he comes in, and if they start him off in the backfield. You know, the Bears can put a tremendous amount of look on folks with and on that defense. That's going to add a tremendous amount of pressure for them to be perfect. And I just don't think the talent is there for them to be perfect, especially this early in the season. So I think, you know, from that perspective, they're really going to struggle defensively to match up. And unless they can force some turnovers, it's going to be a long haul. The last portion is I'm really intrigued, like everybody, to see how this offense is going to come together. You know, there's a lot that's been said about practice. There's been a lot that's been said about no time in you know, preseason playing together. You know, there's a lot to leverage. I mean, if you look at the storylines overall, it's ridiculous, right? Allen Robinson's healthy. We all are hanging our hats on what he did in that playoff game against the Eagles, which was phenomenal. It would have been even better if they started focusing on him earlier. You know, Anthony Miller's going to be actually to take contact and fight off people at jams in the line. That's going to make a big difference. You know, what are we going to do with Cordarrelle Patterson? Like, there's so much talent, and I want David Montgomery to just explode, but Patterson, to me, is going to be so much fun because he is just going to be all over the place, and he's going to be a mismatch nightmare. And I understand that he doesn't run a lot of routes great, but you need him to run about three or four routes great, and you need him to be a threat to run the ball consistently, and I think that's going to be something you can't wait. And then you just get to the offensive backfield. You know, I fully expect that Mike Davis is going to be the starter in the first quarter. I think they're going to do that while they build up confidence in Montgomery. But I think by the end of the game, especially looking up again at the way that, you know, that front seven of Green Bay is just not going to be able to line up with our run offense, I think that David Montgomery is going to have a fun day as well. The three key matchups that I'm looking forward to the most is going to be, it always starts off cheating, but it's always Devontae versus Kyle. You know, Kyle had a very good year last year. I would say he's probably out of position a little bit as a top corner. To me, he's always just a really good number two corner. So this has always been a matchup where there's been some issues, and that's nothing wrong, no slight against Kyle. You know, Devontae's probably a top five wide receiver in the NFL right now, maybe top 10, depending on how you want to rate it. He's extremely good, but that one is just always kind of, for me, a get your popcorn moment, right? These two are going to fight. They know each other after years of playing. It's just going to be a fun matchup. The second one is going to be Run DMC versus Blake and whoever they're going to trot out at inside linebacker, although it sounds more likely that they're just going to use extra defensive backs in the field a whole lot more, which, again, I think really sets up a running game advantage for us. You know, I'm gonna list one of the running backs, which I've already alluded to, kind of as one of the three key players for me. But I think that the run game is really what's going to carry us through today. And that's not an insult at Mitch and saying he's not prepared. I just think with injuries, with the way that there's been a little play time, you know, three snaps in the preseason and everything, I think early on they're going to lean heavy on the run game and the diversity in the run game. And I think you know, as good as Blake can be, he's just going to kind of get steamrolled. And the other one is I can't wait to watch Roquan versus basically every running back and tight end on the Packer team. You know, I just, again, Aaron Jones is nicked up and he's a little guy. I want to see them kind of shut him out early. If you remember a couple years ago, they kept nicking him up. I think that's going to be what happens when they have to go to Williams. You know, they're just not as much of a threat running the ball. He lacks a lot of that same burst. And so I want to watch that. But also, you know, Roquan does not get enough coverage attention for how good he is at coverage. So watching him against these guys, especially since it seems most likely that Jace Sternberger isn't going to play this week. So it's going to be Mercedes Lewis, and it's going to be, you know, I don't know why. Jimmy Graham is there we go. Sorry, Jimmy Graham. Why that name is escaping me. And to see what those two can do. But, you know, this is one of those days of Roquan's coming out, and I just can't wait to see it. Last but not least, right, I want to talk about the three key players that I see for the Chicago Bears this week. I'm going to start off with the first player that I expect to have the biggest impact in this game, and that's going to be Roy Robertson-Harris. You know, I think that this is the leap year. You know, you watch at how teams like Baltimore and Pagano in the past, if you guys like Pernell McPhee and recently, right, Za'Darius Smith there, in as chess pieces, line them outside, line them inside, right, create havoc, make people think that he's one thing and have him be another. You know, this is, Chuck is a lot more creative in his willingness to move guys around and you know, we could talk for hours about Harris's ability to start off as almost a nose tackle after he came in here as a 3-4, you know, outside linebacker. He really played more noses first year, and then last year he played a kind of more of an end position, and this year I expect more of an end slash edge role. Think of, you know, an anchor type of role on the right hand side, or, you know, opposite of Mac on certain plays, so that when the defense decides they want to go to almost a 4-3 or nickel look with four down linemen, and those four down linemen being, you know, Mac, Hicks, Goldman or Nichols, and RRH, you know, I think that's going to be it. So I really expect him to be having a big game this game. And I'm looking for about two sacks for him, and I really expect him to be the one to set the tide. The other person that I'm looking forward to, number two, is going to be David Montgomery. You know, I know this is cheating, but as I alluded to earlier, with the way that injuries have just stockpiled up for the Pack, for the way that they have nobody from an inside linebacker position that's going to be able to shadow him, I think, you know, even though I truly believe that Davis is going to kind of come out your starter for the first couple of plays, we're going to see a steady dose of Montgomery, and I think he's going to start to punish guys, right? I think they're just going to keep rotating through, but I think Montgomery, and the way that he's built and how shifty he is, he's going to be that guy that we're going to see to pop off a lot of 10, 15, 20 plus yard runs, just chunk plays, right? That's what we need. And so I don't think that they have any shot of defending that. And I really think that, you know, second half of this game, that's when he puts his foot on the accelerator and he really claims that starting position. The last key player for me, there were a lot of names that kind of got bandied about. You know, I thought Allen Robinson, especially going against their one true corner that I'd be impressed with in Jair, you know, he was definitely on that list. Anthony Miller, I think, is definitely on that list. Adam Shaheen, especially with Burton's injury, you know, I think he's extremely important. But, you know, the one thing about beating the Pack is to beat the Pack, you have to beat Aaron Rodgers. And that's so cliche, and I hate myself for even saying that. But, you know, if RRH is kind of that hybrid chess piece, it's Leonard Floyd that's really going to make this defense elite. And we need that big step from him. I know he wants that big step. I know he's got dreams and aspirations of being that pass rush guy, right? That 10-sack a kind of a year guy, and he's got that capability. He's just never been able to piece it. And I think while he's got probably the hardest matchup, seeing a lot more Bakhtiari than Bulaga, and, you know, that I think is going to be extremely important for how he sets the tone for this season, right? If he goes out and he challenges David and pushes him and creates pressure on Aaron, that just builds for what we're going to do the rest of the season. And while we all know that, you know, a lot of the season is going to be how far Mitch and Mac take us, really what turns this defense and this season around is those other guys that we need to take the leap. And that's your Floyds, your Robertson Harris, your Anthony Millers, your Adam Shaheens, right? All these different guys, they need to make this leap. And I'm going to start off with Leonard Floyd for this one. So that's kind of some of the high-level stuff that I'm really looking forward to seeing this week. Overall, I keep kind of harping at it. I don't think this game is going to be close. I think this is going to be one of those games that the Bears are going to go out and drop, you know, 24-plus points and hold the Packer to under two scores. So I'm looking at a final of about 24-13 in favor of the Bears and starting off the season strong. As always, you guys, you know, you can follow me in my insane ramblings and picking on certain Dodger fans in the Barroom organization on Twitter at CarsKeys1. But otherwise, looking forward to talking with you guys and interacting with you guys the rest of the season. Bear down.